K-A-T-O-O. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, February 6th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna cheese, hawa, toesik nusum, salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, Slinkies and the Window Frame opens at the Alaska State Museum this Friday. We chat with artist Tamara Wilson about this multimedia exhibition. A rock and hip-hop two-night concert called The Festival of the Dog will feature bands from Anchorage, Ketchikan, and Juneau. We talk with local group The Rain Dogs and hear some exclusive new music. The Juneau Commission on Aging shares upcoming events for seniors happening around Juneau in February. And the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council is here with a First Friday sneak peek and Arts Roundup review. Those conversations and more coming up this hour on Juneau Afternoon.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin tak anakaya ha anikak. Gunnish cheese.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO, 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Friday, February 7th, from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Alaska State Museum, Tamara Wilson opens her exhibition, Slinkies and the Window Frame, featuring studio work and site-specific installation. Tamara is a multimedia artist from Fairbanks, Alaska, and the show runs through April 12th. Tamara and culture and what is your title, Jackie?
Curator of exhibits.
That's what I thought. Curator of exhibits. I wrote down on my paper culture of exhibits, which similar, but curator of exhibits. Jackie Manning also joins me now in the studio. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio today. Wasiyati, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good.
Get a little bit closer to the mic, Tamara. You're down from Fairbanks.
Yes, down from Fairbanks. Been here since Monday, and it's ridiculously beautiful and sunny. So thank you for that.
Of course. Yeah, I know. It's how cold does it get up there right now?
Oh, these days it's not too bad. But yeah, last week it got down to negative 30, but in the same week it was like 42 above. So.
Negative 30 and then 42 and above. Like how do?
Yeah, it's just crazy fluctuations. But
do you prepare for that with? Do you have like things by your door that are like ultra warm and then maybe somewhat warm?
No. Just throwing caution to the wind every morning. You never know what you're going to find out there.
That's hilarious. That's so fun. But you're here. You're at the Alaska State Museum with your new exhibit. And I love that you all brought me this really cool booklet that you've created. Are people going to be able to get this at the museum?
The first 50.
The first 50? Ooh, I'm exclusive,
yes,
then, aren't I? That's kind of fun. This is really cool because it's like a fold-out with some of the photos from the artwork that you are doing. So tell me a little bit, Tamara, about your multimedia art.
Well, I work with a pretty wide variety of materials, so that'd be the multimedia part. I kind of have two genres of work that I mostly focus on. One would be installation art, so like creating immersive spaces for the viewer to then, you know, go through and sort of be a part of. And then I also create studio work at home, and then those more traditional kind of wall-hung works can be, you know, placed in a different space when they're viewed. So the installations are primarily made out of felt material, like a synthetic craft-style felt. And then the sculptures are everything from, like, remnant tile to construction materials, expanding foam, silicone, grout, plywood, anything and everything.
And slinkies?
Slinkies, yeah. Why not, right? They're fun and useless, and yeah.
I love that. So what are we going to be seeing at this exhibit, Slinkies in the Window Frame?
So for this exhibit, I have made a site-specific installation that's sort of adjacent to a more traditional style gallery. So in the space, it's divided but with a wall. And on one side, the installation is kind of a recreation of a domestic space. And on the other side, there are these sort of more kind of unknown creature-like things. And those would be like the slinkies. So the slinkies are sort of these weird things that occupy the space.
I see. Yeah. Okay, that's kind of cool. And Jackie, where is this taking place in the museum?
It's right in that first gallery that we have as you come into the museum, and it opens tomorrow night, 4:30 to 7, and Tamara's going to give a talk tomorrow night about her work starting at 7 o'clock. So First Friday is always free at the museum, so please come and check it out, see the show, and then you can hear her speak about her work.
At 7 o'clock. So it opens at 4:30, technically.
Opens at 4:30, talk at 7.
Talk at 7. What will the talk be consisting of tomorrow?
Oh, well, I'll explain a little bit kind of more in detail what I do if people want to hear about that and some of the influences that are a part of my work and projects that I'm working on and projects that I've completed and just generally about what I do, I guess.
I love that. That's going to be so cool. So tell me a little bit about when did you first start making things using other things?
I've been kind of a creator, maker, kind of impulsive, wanting to learn how to do things for my entire life, I guess. But these sort of more slinky, these more sculptural multimedia pieces are kind of newer. So I'd say started within the last like 5 to 10 years.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So what were you working with before?
So for many years before that, it was almost entirely felt and thread, so sewing. A lot of fabric and textile-based artwork.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so did that start when you were like 5, or when did you start making stuff?
Yeah, sure. So my mom taught me how to sew when I was probably about that age, quite young.
Wow.
I loved to make Halloween costumes with her, and also love to change my mind the night before. So I think she thought, well, if she teaches me how to make them myself, then I can tackle that indecision. So I've been sewing for a long time. My artwork has kind of shifted towards more textile in between when I got my undergraduate degree. So I graduated from UAF in Fairbanks in 2008. So that would be kind of my shift from more traditional painting and drawing to more textile-based work. And then that continued on through graduate school, and that was around 2014. So I'd say, you know, I've been kind of working on this larger body of artwork, I suppose, since like 2004, 2008.
Wow. Is there a place that we can, I know we can go to lam.alaska.gov and get all of the information about this current exhibit, but I'm also curious if there's a place that we can follow you online. Do you post? Do you have a website?
Sure, yep. I try to do all the things, not all the time, so it's not always updated, but you can go to my website, tamarawilson.net. And then I'm also on Instagram, Tamara K. Wilson.
Tamara K. Wilson.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. So people can see what the work might be, get
a
little preview of what's to come this Friday. When you're working, I'm always curious about this with multimedia artists, especially when you're working with so many different, you know, the list that I have here is remnant tiles, truck bed liners, imitation bubble gum, oak, felt, expanding foam. You mentioned some of those, which is great. So two questions about that. Why those materials? And in using those materials, is there an underlying theme or message that you're saying within that art form?
So why those materials?
Yeah.
I think I stumble upon things through just different curiosities. So I'm really always fascinated on learning new skills. I've had lots of different kinds of employment throughout the years, everything from auto mechanic to building in construction, being a general laborer. And so always running across different materials in that way and then wanting to use them in my art. So it's kind of like one curiosity then sort of leads to a different investigation of a material that might end up in my work. Mm. And then your second question, the underlying sort of theme I don't know. I think if one thing was to tie it all together, it's sort of finding possibilities with the resources that you have at hand. So whether that's remnant materials from the job site or, you know, scavenging through people's stuff that they're leaving on the transfer site or finding new uses for things that are discarded.
I love that. I'm a big believer in making things out of other things, like making things become other things. In the theater, that was always a joy of mine, was to figure out how can we use what we have already. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of similar because you're making art out of things that other people might think are supposed to be in the trash bin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And to that theater note, because I do all these site-specific installations, once they're up and then I take them down, they never exist in that form again. So then I reuse that material to make another installation, or maybe it's not, the quality has diminished just by being put up and taken down. So then I cut it into smaller and smaller and smaller pieces. And so ultimately, even my own artwork is then sort of repurposed within itself.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. So, Jackie, I think I mentioned in the open, this runs through April 12th.
Yes.
And is there other things that we want to know about what's going on in February at the museum?
So also, Tamara's going to do a youth activity on Saturday from 1 until 3, and that's for ages 10 to 19, and there's a few spots left in that. So if folks are interested in signing up, they can go to lam.alaska.gov/youth art. And a couple more spots, and they're going to make forever plants with Tamara.
Oh, forever plants. Yeah. That's cool.
On Saturday, so very fun.
Awesome. So that's on Saturday. And then, of course, the talk tomorrow at 7 with an opening happening between 4:30 and 7:30. And admission is free for the museum on Friday night.
And then the other shows that we have up, Renan Caro's exhibit is still up. Her art quilts, and Lou Logan will be in working on his Inupiaq-style kayak in the museum tomorrow night.
So. He's got that going. I love that.
Yes.
I love that. That's pretty cool. Have you been watching him work this week while you're there?
Yeah, a little bit. It was great to connect with him and see him there working. And yeah, it's wonderful because a lot of times when you go do an installation, it's just kind of you and maybe the facility's staff, but another artist there. And yeah, it was great to.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, have some cross collaboration there, which is great. And that's awesome. And so is there another show after this, or is there something else that will be opening like in May?
May, we'll open our summer show, which will be a combination. It's a multiple artist exhibit that is titled Boreal Forest Stories. And that one was curated by a scientist out of UAF, and so coming in May.
That's cool.
And I've actually seen that exhibit in Fairbanks, and it's quite spectacular. So,
awesome. Yeah. But in the meantime, we go see Tamara Wilson's Slinkies and the Window Frame, which opens tomorrow night, February 7th, with an opening reception from 4:30 to 7:30. Tomorrow we'll be giving a talk at 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, if you want your 10 to 19-year-old to make a forever plant, you can go to lam.alaska.gov/youthart. That's pretty awesome. We said that in tandem, Jackie. That's awesome. Well, Gwyneth Cheese, for being here, break a leg tomorrow on
thank
the opening
you.
Of your exhibit. Really appreciate you being here today. Thanks so much, Gwyneth
Cheese.
Thank
you for your time.
Yeah. Okay, up next, the Festival of the Dog, a 2-day concert featuring rock and hip-hop groups from around Alaska, like Dude Mountain, Sun Dog. It begins tomorrow. We chat with local group The Rain Dogs about the festival next here on Juno Afternoon. But first, a Juno Afternoon exclusive of a rough cut of a new song of theirs coming soon on an EP release later this winter. This is Cry Die.
I don't think I like it when you say it's all right to cry. 'Cause I'm up all night thinking what would happen if I died. I'd miss the sun and the moon showing how they love each other by changing the colors of the sky. I'd miss the way the wind talks and all my friends walk. They like to smile when they cry. 'Cause I wanna be the sun.
Cry Die, a new rough cut of a song from Juno group The Rain Dogs, coming soon to an EP near you. And they will also be part of the Festival of the Dog, a two-day concert experience with groups from Anchorage like Turbo Hell and Sundog, plus Dude Mountain from Ketchikan, as well as many of your local favorites. It's all happening at the Crystal Saloon Friday, February 7th, and Saturday, February 8th. You can get more info at Crystal. Crystal Saloon or find it on Eventbrite, which is also kind of cool. I'm joined now in studio by the Rain Dogs, Anna, Avery, Keenan, and Jacob, as well as David Elrod from the Crystal Saloon, the manager extraordinaire who's putting all of these awesome events together around town. So, Gunnath Chi, Shaye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio today. Wasa Iti, how's it going?
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.
That was an awesome song. So, Anna, tell me, what does it mean, rough cut?
So, rough cut of this is that it's still in the works, so there's some fine-tuning that we have to do, but it sounds really, really great, as it is, because we had our friend Axel Wizard.
Is Wizards his last name, or he is a wizard?
No, he is a wizard. He is a wizard.
Axel
Gillum. He's a wizard. And he helped us record 6 songs, and they all just, it's so easy to mix them now because they already sound so good. But there's definitely some fine tuning that has to go into this, like mixing things down in volume, putting some compression on things, and a little bit of reverb.
As musicians, I'm curious in terms of what is your understanding of the mixing process. Do you, let's say, Keenan, right?
Yep.
Keenan, so what do you play in the band? Talk right into that microphone.
Yeah, so I'm the drummer. I have very, very limited knowledge of the mixing and mastering process. I've been messing around on like GarageBand and Ableton and whatever since I was a little kid, but that is so simplified compared to what Anna does, who is our mixing mastering maestro. So yeah, we send it all to her, and she takes care of it after we've already recorded, and she's already doing guitar and vocals, so she's really spearheading the whole recording process. Of course, having Axel on the project speeds things up quite a bit as far as where we start. But yeah, I just know the very basics from maybe 2 hours of YouTube deep
dives. I'm just curious because it's like one thing to play the instrument, but then I know like in terms of like, Anna, you're talking about like the layering and like compression and all those kinds of things. And you have that background as sort of an audio, you have sort of audio engineering in your background. Not only are you the lead singer, but you also do some of that work. Because I remember you came in, I think it was last year, because these guys weren't available. So she came by herself and played, you played this movie, I believe. And at the end of that, it was like 3 minutes of you messing around with your sounds on the guitar, the electric guitar that you had brought in, which was cool. So where does that audio experience for you come from? Have you always just been sort of an audio geek about it?
So it happened later in life. I grew up playing classical violin and then didn't really get into audio production until I was like 21. Mm. I'm 26 now. And it was, I switched majors in school. I was going to school for psychology, and then I transferred schools to USM in Portland, Maine, and I had a media studies program, and then there's a concentration in audio production, and I got an internship through this really cool recording studio called Prism Analog. It's a nonprofit, and they record everything to tape, and my mentor, he like totally just blew my mind with like what you can make songs sound like. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So and who do I have here? Who this is?
I'm Avery.
You're Avery, and what do you play?
I play guitar.
Play guitar. Okay, and that must be Jacob.
Yep, I'm Jacob. I'm backup dancer, and I also play the bass.
The bass, I said to somebody yesterday, I was talking about, it was a stand-up bass was in here yesterday, but I always have said forever and ever that I think that when I was a kid, I always looked to the bass player as like the coolest member of the band. So are you the coolest member of the band?
Yeah, you're going to make me blush here. Don't let anyone else say anything, block their mics off. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Just because you get to be so chill, you know? You're just so chill. Most bass players just kind of stand there and do their thing. A few of them sort of rock out, but they're always just so like, let everybody else do that stuff. I'm just going to be back here chilling. I love that. It's just so cool. So the Rain Dogs is sort of a relatively, we're going to get to this concert thing, this Festival of the Dog, but the Rain Dogs are so cool and is sort of a relatively new group, right? You guys started like maybe 2 years ago, was it?
Yeah.
Coming up on
2 years?
Yeah, Folk Fest 2 years ago, it was just Anna and I under the name Keenan Anna. We put as many vowels as we could in there. And then slowly over the last 2 years, we've built up members. So Jacob and I were roommates, and he was a guitarist, and we have brought him into the darkness, and now he's in the back line with me playing some more rhythmic stuff. So we got him on bass, which is great.
Love it.
And then we picked up Avery shortly after, and now we are complete. So now we form like Voltron.
I love that you had so many vowels, and now I know on your solo project, Anna, you now cut out many more. So now it's just Anne Mahan for your solo stuff that you do, which is awesome. Yeah. So it's good. It's just great. And the growth of the band, has it been pretty wonderful over these last couple of years? It seems like you guys are rocking.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak much to the year before I joined, but yeah, I feel like just over the last year we've kind of steadily started writing more songs at kind of a faster pace. I think a lot of that has come from Anna. She'll come to us, we'll practice 1 week, and then 7 days later we'll show up to another practice and she's like, hey guys, I wrote 3 more songs, whenever you're ready.
Nice. And I know you have, so this new EP, you have some music that is available on the streaming services. People can find it out there. Songs like This Movie and a few other tunes that are available. And so when's this new EP looking to drop?
I'm hoping to have it done before Folk Fest, definitely.
Okay.
Maybe sooner. I'm just giving myself a little bit of a cushion.
I see. And will there be physical copies available?
That is a really good goal. I think that would be really cool to get some CDs, you know, available with that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of physical things, we just got merch in.
Oh, merch?
Yeah, which is really exciting.
And that's going to be available during Festival of the Dog?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this before we run out of time. So Festival of the Dog, David from the Crystal Saloon, how did Festival of the Dog come together?
I love this band in the room more than I've probably ever loved any band, and I try to get as many cool gigs for them and try to bring as many people down as they've gotten bigger. Sundog has been doing really, really big things up in Anchorage. They opened for 311. They did the Iceland Airwaves with Casey Smith Project and Radiophonic Jazz. They're doing Tree Fort Music Festival this year. So I've just been watching them, and I'm kind of trying to think of what I want to do with the Crystal Saloon over the next couple of years. And what I really thought would be a good idea was just to focus on Alaskan bands, bringing people from around the state and showcasing that. So Sundog was the first on my list. I wrote them an email just saying, hey, what do you think about coming to Juneau? And they were like, absolutely. What if we do like a 2-day? What if we do like a big festival and like bring in everybody? And I was like, sure. And I'm like, who do you want? We have Rain Dogs, obviously. They're like, Dude Mountain. I'm like, I can do that. And it just kind of went from there. This is one of the more ambitious things I think we've done at the Saloon so far. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be over these next couple nights, Friday and Saturday. I have the lineup here. Is this still accurate?
It should be.
Should
accurate.
Be. So Friday, February 7th. Because it's a mixture of hip-hop and rock, which I think is going to be so cool. And Sundog will close out each of the nights. But Friday, February 7th, we have Zanzler and Radiophonic Jazz, who you also just did a concert with last weekend, right, Anna?
Yeah.
Yeah. As Anne Mahan.
Yeah.
And you recorded for Alaska's Fresh Catch. Yeah, so that's going to be kind of cool. And then, so Zanzler, Radiophonic Jazz, Dude Mountain, which is from Ketchikan. People love Dude Mountain.
Yeah, yes.
And so
for good reason.
So that's going to be fun. And then Sundog will close out that Friday night. And what time does it start on Friday?
Doors will open at 8. We're hoping to kick the music off around 8:30.
Okay, so it's probably start around 9:30, and then
not on my watch.
And then go till close. I'm assuming.
Awesome.
I'm sure.
My local engineer's Axel, who's did their album, and we like to try to keep things on time as
nice,
much as possible.
Nice. Now, I'm talking about the artists, not necessarily the tech folks. But then it'll probably go until late, I would assume.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's probably going to go until about 2:30. It's going to be closing time.
And then on Saturday night, February 8th. Wordplay, who've been on the show before, they're awesome. Turbo Hell out of Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about Turbo Hell. It's a rock band trio from Anchorage. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
I don't know. They just put out an album. They came highly suggested from Sundog.
Okay.
And I don't know much about them either, but I'm looking forward to seeing them. I've enjoyed the bit of recorded music I've heard from them.
Well, they're self-described as loud and groovy.
They're pretty loud.
They're definitely groovy, too. Pretty groovy. Listening. We pulled up some of their songs while we were at practice, and we were bobbing our heads. We were like, oh,
awesome.
This is
That's so cool. That's really great. And then, so that will be them. And then the Rain Dogs, you guys will perform on Saturday night. And then Sundog will close it out. So I don't know why it's called Festival of the Dog, but I'm imagining it has something to do with your names, if I'm not too thick. That's pretty cool.
That was a collaboration with Sundog in the bar. Yeah.
And I mentioned in the open where you can get tickets, but is crystalsaloon.com the best place to go?
Crystalsaloon.com/events. It looks like I just sold out of single-day tickets for Friday. I'm really low on single-day tickets for Saturday. There's plenty of multi-day passes available.
Okay, multi-day pass might be the way to go.
It should, catch everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. It's bands from Anchorage, Ketchikan, Juneau. They're all getting together. I love the camaraderie, right? The collective consciousness of working together and making these things kind of come true, which is really cool.
And if this one goes well, we've already talked about expanding it for next year and doing some food, like some food offerings, maybe like a smaller fair and festival around that as well. So
awesome.
We'll see how this year goes. We'll keep it going.
Awesome. Well, we'll have to get you all back in here, bring your equipment, we'll jam out, we'll have like a cool we'll play, maybe we can play the whole EP on live on air. Would that be cool?
Yeah.
That would be really cool. How many songs are going to be on it?
Six.
We're still counting. And most of them will be available to play on the air?
Yes.
Okay, good. I mean, in terms of language and stuff, you know, that kind of thing. She's like checking. She's like, let me think about it. But I think, yes, absolutely. That's so cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Gunnar the Cheech for being here. It's the Festival of the Dog. It's happening this Friday and Saturday night at the Crystal Saloon, featuring the Rain Dogs plus Sundog from Anchorage, Dude Mountain from Ketchikan, and other local favorites, Zanzler, Radiophonic Jazz, and Wordplay. Oh, and Turbo Hell, the groovy and loud from Anchorage, which sounds really cool. So that sounds really fun. So thank you so much, Gunnar the Cheech, for being here. And what do you say? Like, I know, like, we say break a leg, dancers say other things like married. What do you say to have like a good show? Do you just say good show?
Yeah.
I like break a leg.
Break a leg. Is good.
You can borrow that. It's from the theater.
I have a whole speech I give bands in the green room, which I won't repeat.
We're the Rain Dogs, so we just go.
Oh, there you go.
We just bark at each other.
Just bark at each other. Get hyped up, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming in today. I really appreciate you being here. Gunnar the Cheech.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right. Up next, we chat with the Juneau Commission on Aging and some of their partners about various events happening around Juneau this coming month. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. But first, a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. Have you ever wanted to love an ingredient but felt it was somehow beneath you? And then all it takes is a hero who employs that ingredient so brazenly, with such a refreshing, haute cuisine be darned, let them eat cake attitude, that you find yourself falling head over heels. One day, your New York Times cooking app breaks the seal on mayo, with an acclaimed recipe developer admitting they slather it on everything. Another New York Times contributor advises putting ultra-smooth, sweetened peanut butter in your cookies. And then there's garlic salt. This time your hero is a friend who uses it on roasted fish. Garlic salt is pre-seasoned with crunchy nubbins of dried garlic, and it's got a little color from those parsley flakes. Launch your maiden voyage with rockfish in a 1-2-3 situation. 1. Sprinkle fish generously with garlic salt and rest for 20 minutes. 2. Drizzle with olive oil. 3. Bake in a 375-degree oven for 12 to 15 minutes. Easiest fish ever. Now, about those frozen Brussels sprouts you keep hidden in the back of your freezer. They'll make the perfect side dish. Don't worry, we won't tell. Find the full recipe for easiest fish ever at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Shortroads. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I'm joined now by Linda Kruger from the Juno Commission on Aging and some community partners, Sarah Lewis from the UAF Cooperative Extension Service and Melinda Sandkamp from the Juno Public Libraries. Gunath Chi, Sha Yi Gudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio today. Wasa Iati, how's it going?
Thanks, Boston.
Okay, yeah, that's good. I'm so happy to have you all here. We've got a lot to talk about.
We do.
So,
we're going to talk fast.
No, it's all good. Linda, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about this, because the Juno Commission on Aging is doing a lot to partner and make things happen and get seniors active out in the community. Go.
That's right. The Juno Commission on Aging has partnered with AARP and others in the community to bring more programming for juniors, Juno seniors. And in 2023, the City and Borough of Juno became an age-friendly community. And we're writing an age-friendly plan focused on housing for all ages and stages. And we could talk about housing all day. Outdoor and community spaces. And we're working with Parks and Rec to bring senior programming to the Marie Drake Gym, so stay tuned on that one. We're working with the public libraries to bring IT programs and classes and cooperative extension to support Better Bones and Balance and new programming at the Augustus Brown Pool in March. So we've got a lot of new stuff coming up and just excited to have Sarah and Melinda come and talk about the programs that they're working on.
Absolutely. Well, before I talk to them, let me just mention this Taste of AARP Juno that's happening Tuesday, February 25th. It's at the Juno Arts and Culture Center right across the street here from KTOO. What's going to be happening at that, Linda?
All right. It's from 4:30 to 6:30, and the Alaska AARP office folks will be coming down from Anchorage. They'll be down here. They're bringing all kinds of informational material, and they'll be able to talk to us about all the things that AARP has to offer. We'll have food and games, and it should be a lot of fun.
That's really cool. That's a really fun thing. Again, that's Tuesday, February 25th from 4:30 to 6:30. And I'm sure you can find out more information at Alaska's AARP Juno website. They probably have a Facebook. And also, I think the Juno Commission on Aging has a Facebook as well, right?
Juno Commission on Aging has a website on the City and Borough Juno website, so you can get to it from there. And if you're an AARP member, you'll get an invitation. You'll get an official email invitation saying, hey, sign up and come and join us. And so just keep your eyes open for something from AARP.
Oh, yeah, the AARP. They're not shy about sending you stuff.
Not at all.
I think they started with me when I turned 40, maybe. I don't know. I started getting a lot of things in the mail. Okay, so let's talk to Sarah. Sarah, tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Better Bones and Balance program.
Yeah, awesome, Boston. Thank you so much. So, yes, my name is Sarah Lewis. I'm with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. That's very confusing.
It is.
Cooperative Extension Service.
What are you doing here?
What the heck?
You live in Juno, but you work for Fairbanks.
You know, it seems traitorous, but it's not. So UAF, so the Cooperative Extension, a lot of people know us as sort of master gardeners and growing food and preserving food and cooking food and nutrition, et cetera. But one big area that we actually also have a lot of programming in is health promotion and chronic disease management and things like that. And so when we start to perceive, because we're talking with folks in the community, that there's a gap in something, we try to see if we can't fill it. And it became very obvious that there wasn't a whole lot of resources for active folks who have been diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis, because as soon as you have weakened bones, people get really nervous about you. They're afraid you're going to fall on their time. And so finding programs, fitness programs, for folks who are still very active but really need to focus on strengthening, maintaining bone strength, or even increasing it. Mm. So Linda and I went and we got certified to become Better Bones and Balance instructors.
Awesome.
It's an Oregon State University research-based program. It's been around for about 20 years, I believe. It's not a brand new thing, but it is a very flexible to all kinds of abilities program that, so we have started the B3 fitness program, which is going to be the Better Bones and Balance circuit style training that we're going to do at the gym. It's a 12-week program. We're going to do it a couple times a year. This is the spring session. And so if you have either a family history of bone density loss, or you've been diagnosed yourself, or you have a doctor who's told you that you should be careful about this because of family history, things like that, this is a great fitness program. And it is not an easy one either. I mean, it's a real build your muscles, build your bones, lift heavy things, do lots of reps.
I love that.
Yeah. But it also can be tailored to specific needs and abilities. So it's a great program that way. So
and
we're
it starts
started.
In March.
It starts, the first session is going to be February 26th. An intro session that is necessary. And then we're going to get started with the actual workouts and the sweating in March.
And how do people get the information?
So you can call me at 907-455-2010. You can also go to a bit.ly, so it's a bit.ly/B, as in bones, 3 fitness. So bit.ly B3 fitness will get you to the application. We only have room for 8 folks, so we are having people apply, and we'll go from there based on how much interest there is.
Awesome. And do you have to be a certain age or
anything?
Nope.
Okay. In fact, women over 40, 50% of us have already lost bone mass, and 25% of men over 40 will have already lost bone mass. So it's something that we don't focus on a whole lot until something breaks.
Yeah.
And we're trying to focus on it before.
I appreciate that. I also appreciate the name B3 because you made me think of, you've heard of this Capital Civic Center that they're trying to build here in Juneau. And I really want it to be, because I thought of the 3 C's, right? And I want to call it the cube, because when you do 3, it means cubed in math, right? So I'm like, because every place like that has a name that's more like, oh yeah, you're gonna go down to the cube and see the band or
it's
whatever.
True.
So
awesome.
I think we gotta come up with something for B3 too. We gotta come up with something because it's better. It's Better Bones and Balance, which
yes.
I just love that. So that's the Better Bones and Balance program, and you can find out more at bit.ly/B3Fitness. That's a really cool program, and that's in partnership with the Juneau Commission on Aging and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, we're all in this together.
And another program, Melinda, how are you from the Juneau Public Libraries?
Doing well. Thanks for having me out.
Awesome. And you have is a really cool event coming up on February 21st. Tell us a little bit about that.
So on February 21st, only 2 weeks from tomorrow, we will have a senior and elder tech event. We have been working on this for quite a few months, and we're going to partner with AARP, and we also will have volunteers out from CERC, the Learning Center at CERC. So we're so appreciative for the partnerships, because we can offer so much more at the library when we have someone helping us put on the show. So this senior and elder tech event will be 2 different sessions on Friday morning, the 21st. Each of them will be an hour and 25 minutes.
Okay.
And this is before the library opens, and it will be at the Mendenhall Valley Library. But we're doing that so that we can spread out and learn about all the technology that you can find in the library. So the goal with it is to assist patrons in using library technology.
I love that.
It can include navigating the catalog at the library or on your own device, using the Alaska Digital Library. It's just want everyone to know that they can use their library card for to access things like the New York Times. The New York Times or the Wall Street Journal for free. There's also access to genealogy sites and academic sites. And we just want everyone to know how to do that to make it easy. We also want to just the basics of navigating our website so that you can access those digital resources or find the calendar to find out about more events at the library, or even to how to request a title through interlibrary loan. We also specifically encourage people to bring their own devices because if they want to learn how to access Libby for ebooks or audiobooks or Hoopla or Canopy, those are three of the apps that we partner with at the library. And so they give you access to all sorts of materials.
Yeah, that Libby app is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Like it allows you to check out books. And what's interesting, I really thought it was interesting though, because like it's a digital checkout and you can read the thing, the book on your phone or whatever it might be. And then I'm like, well, why is it still you have to have a hold though? Because, you know, to get that as opposed to having multiple digital copies available. But I guess it has to do with rights and how many copies are actually out there in circulation and things like that.
Exactly. It's to do with how many rights the library has contracted
to
have
licenses,
available.
Right?
And the whole consortium. It's the whole Alaska Library Consortium.
Yeah. It also gives you the library experience of having to wait for your book to
there
come in.
You go. That's right.
Replicating that live experience of like, why has that person not returned the book yet? I really want to read it. That's really cool. And there's going to be two sessions. You mentioned that.
That's right.
There's going to be two sessions, one at 9 o'clock and then one at 10:30. You might see a flyer around town. It's called the Senior and Elder Tech Event, and it's happening on Friday, February 21st at the Mendenhall Valley Library. I think that's an awesome thing to do, and you're partnering with AARP and also the Juneau Commission on Aging, which is fantastic. That's so cool.
And we just want to really encourage folks to look for that flyer or go on the website. It's already there. You can find it on the calendar because we are requiring pre-registration. Of course, everything is free at the library, but just to make sure that we can serve
all
the attendees.
Yeah, actually.
We ask you to sign up ahead of time.
That's cool. And you can find out all that information at juno.org/library. That is where the best place to get everything that's going on at the libraries. And then for the Better Bones and Balance program, again, that website is bit.ly/B3Fitness. Wow, this is great. This is wonderful.
Yay.
I can't wait for next month to find out what's going to be happening in March. I really appreciate y'all coming on today. Sarah, Linda, and Melinda. Linda and Melinda, you guys need to create a group or something.
There we go.
Have you thought about making a band for Folk Fest?
A band. Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Folk Fest is coming up. Linda and Melinda, check them out. Gonna teach for being here today.
Thanks, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Up next, the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council gets us ready for First Friday, as well as some other events coming up in February. But right now, it's A Little Sounds Wild.
Sounds Wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. A rocky ledge on a small island juts out over the cold water of Prince William Sound on a windy October day. Biologists have darted and sedated a 700-pound stellar sea lion, and they are taking samples and measurements. One biologist attaches a satellite transmitter to her flipper. At the back end, another biologist smears a dab of clear jelly on the sea lion's hip and readies an ultrasound. The device and the procedure are the same as medical diagnostics, and she scans the area with the transducer probe and measures the thickness of the sea lion's blubber through her fur and skin. Another biologist uses a flexible fabric measuring tape to get her length and girth and pulls back her lips to measure her sharp canine teeth. Two wildlife veterinarians are carefully monitoring her vital signs and converse in low tones regarding her blood pressure, respiration rate, and status. After about an hour, one of the vets administers a reversal drug, which counteracts the sedative, and within minutes the sea lion grows more and more alert. She scoots over to the water and slides in. The next day, the biologists see her on the rocks in a group of more than 50 sea lions going about business as usual. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
You're You're listening to Community Support at Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. Joining me now are Rochelle and Trina from the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. It's Arts Roundup time. It's First Friday. It's gallery shows. It's all the things. All the things. Gwyneth Cheesh, Haye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both join me today in the studio. Wasa Iti, how's it going?
It's an amazing day.
It is an amazing day. I love that energy. Thank you for bringing that into the studio. I really appreciate that. Okay, so let's quickly start with you, Rochelle,
sure.
And then we will talk to Trina, especially about the opening that's happening this Friday at the Jack. So let's run down First Friday first. I also know that you have some really cool events happening this month.
We do.
The gospel.
We do. We have the gospel choir workshop starting next week.
Yeah.
If you're interested in joining, you can still get tickets for that. And then we also have the big Motown concert, which we haven't hosted for 5 years.
Whoa.
That's next Friday, the 14th, at 7 o'clock at the Jack, and you can also get tickets for that online.
Yeah, and I know that you have a, there's a cool, I think on the JAHC.org website, there's a page right now, or maybe it's on Facebook too, but there's just a page of everything that's coming this month.
Yeah.
And I noticed both of those were on there as well, so that's kind of cool.
Yep. And if you want to know more about those programs, we've got a big page on our website, like you said, and then we've got, you know, more information about the performers and how to get involved. So,
yeah. Because the gospel is, it's a workshop.
It is, yeah. It's a community choir workshop. Reverend Bobby Lewis and Eustace Johnson, they come in from New York and they lead the choir. It's a Monday through Thursday of workshops. And then Sunday, there's two different concerts that people can come to listen to the choir perform.
Awesome. That's really cool. Okay. And then
it's
the Motown concert is next Friday night.
It is, yes.
Okay. All right, cool. And then let's talk quickly about First Friday. Any things that you want to highlight?
I think you've had quite a few people in this week, so I just wanted to do a shout-out to Lily Hope Weaver Studio. I know that they're going to be open. SHI's back this month. They're doing an artist market during First Friday. We will also be open over in the Davis Gallery at Centennial Hall, continuing our Jack staff, board, and volunteer exhibit that opened last month. And I checked the list this morning, and it looks like our friends up at Lodestone Library, they'll be doing a chocolate tasting at their location.
Well, that sounds good. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's a special exhibit that's happening at the Jack, which is what brings Trina in today.
That's right.
So, Trina, hi.
Hello.
Hello. Tell me a little bit about this special exhibit that's going to be happening.
Well, I'm the curator of my late uncle. His name was Charles Dean Buggs. He was a proud Howard graduate, and he loved making masks. So he was able to develop the armature method of making masks. He passed 12 years ago, but prior to that, he worked with the children here in Juneau. So the junior high school students, he helped create masks. And I will have the largest exhibit of his masks at the Jack. So you will see 22 masks of different cultures. So you'll see African culture, you'll see Native American culture, you will see Day of the Dead masks. So I'm the proud niece, I'm the first niece, and it is an honor to be able to do this. When he passed, he left me a briefcase with instructions.
And he prepared.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am following those instructions because I think it's important for families to know, those aunties and those uncles to know, that those nieces and nephews respect and honor family. And that's important.
Yeah, that is important. And so tell me a little bit about the armature. Is that what you said, the armature method? What
armature
is that?
Mass. So we're talking a lot of Elmer's glue, paper mache, so we're saying paper bags, and a harder construction of cardboard, because the masks are basically a baseball mitt. So when you think about a baseball mitt, and that's a face, that's the mask. So the masks are quite large. He did a lot of research. So there's a lot of research, and there's significance to a lot of the names of the mask as well.
Mm.
So we're talking a whole lot of paper, a whole lot of Elmer's glue, and this was based on a class assignment when he was at Howard. The art teacher there said, you need to create something that's less than $5. And at that point in his life, he was working in a mailroom, and he was trying to figure out, what can I do that's going to cost less than $5? And he saw all this paper, and that's when he decided to create the armature method. So the method has been around quite some time, but he's been able to perfect it. Again, he worked with a lot of students here at Juno, and he actually had shows at the Jack many, many years ago where he featured some of the students from Juno.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So I'm curious, like, because you're saying it's made out of paper and cardboard and lots of glue, and where are you keeping these now that he's sort of passed them on to you? How do you keep them in good shape, I guess, is the question.
Well, I actually wrap them.
Yeah.
So I wrap them, and I sit them in kind of a paper bag as well to make sure that I keep them kind of, I guess, as best as I possibly can. And then I have a lot of them hanging on the walls in the condo that he left me.
Ah.
So again, when he passed, he left me his condo.
Yeah.
And a lot of those masks have been on display. But for this show, I want the community to know that a lot of those masks will be on sale. And any sales that I'm able to make, the monies are going to be donated actually to different art organizations here at Juno, because I'm clearly invested in what goes on here in the community.
Absolutely. And again, that's your late uncle, Charles Dean Buggs.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's going to be happening. It opens Friday. Rochelle, is there a opening reception and things like that as per usual?
Yes, there is. That's from 4 to 7 p.m. over in the gallery at the Jack.
Okay, tomorrow. Over in the gallery at the Jack tomorrow. And then it will be up for the month?
It will be, yes.
Okay. And yeah. They are available for purchase.
Yes, they are, as well as a workbook. He created a workbook. So whoever purchases the mask, the workbook will be included. But if individuals just want to purchase the workbook, they can do that. And the workbook actually gives you instructions on how to make a mask.
Oh.
And there'll be an example as well of the materials that he used to create the mask.
Wow. And so that all, yeah, you're going to get that when you buy one of the masks. That's pretty cool. That's
yes.
Amazing. You can teach the next generations to do the same thing, which is really kind of cool. Well, thank you so much for telling us about that. That's good. Is there a name? It is. The Art of the Paper Mask. It's right here.
Yes.
Yeah. Featuring armature masks made by the late Charles Dean Buggs. Trina Lynch Jackson, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about this. And Rochelle, thank you so much coming over from the Jack, telling us about First Friday. And of course, you can find out all this information from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council on their website at jahc.org.
Yes.
And everything will be on there, the First Friday events and all the programming that will be happening coming up that we mentioned, the gospel workshop as well as the Motown concert next Friday, the 14th. Thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheese, for being here. That was awesome.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you all. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a concert from Orpheus Project featuring new compositions from local composers. It's the Loco Concert, happening this weekend. Plus, artist Nicole Steger and a look at Mudroom Storytelling event for February. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gwyneth Cheese!
KTOO Juno and KAUK Juno Auk Bay.